Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guests today are Harold Hayes Jr. and Craig S. Phillips, the co-creators behind a new novel, Kingston and the Magicians Lost and Found, that the duo wrote with acclaimed novelist Theo Ganji. The novel is published under the pen name Rucker Moses. Harold and Craig, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, if someone hasn't heard about your new novel yet, how would you describe Kingston and the Magicians Lost and Found?
Harold, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I would say that Kingston and the Magicians Lost and Found is it's an adventure story about a young man named Kingston who's looking for his father who disappeared in a very strange and mysterious way, which was through a magic act. And this is the driving force that takes us through an adventure through a magical and mysterious city called Echo City, which is a neighborhood in Brooklyn that only the few people know where to find. And it's full of magic, mystery, tricks, illusion. It talks about hard work and just never giving up.
And so do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to create Kingston and the Magicians Lost and Found?
Go ahead, Chris. Well, I was going to say we're always looking at life in a magical way. So I love how Craig explains this part. And I just wanted to kind of preface that in that anytime we're around looking at stuff or talking about things and walking around town, we see magic everywhere. And that's something we infuse in the book.
Yeah, and you know, there. This whole thing started a while back. It's been some time now, but we were kind of discussing this idea with an old friend of ours, Michael White. He's an illustrator, and we kind of had this. There was this concept that we were all talking about with these street magicians, these guys who almost looked like they were homeless, and they were in a park somewhere in New York. And this kid kind of stumbles upon them, and he notices that they're having some kind of, you know, tit for tat. He realizes they're basically having some kind of magic battle between the two of them in the park. And that was the genesis for the world. And we kind of started expanding it from there. And those two street magicians became his uncles. And the next step was we thought, well, what would be a really good origin story for this kid? And we thought, well, it'd be amazing if he was from this family that, you know, was like steeped in magic history and had a long line of magicians within the family, and that his dad disappeared in an act one day. So we could kind of play with that trope of, you know, a kid who's lost his father and he's searching for him, but he literally lost him because he vanished in a magic trick one night. So from there, we started developing this world of Echo City. It's figuring out, you know, what's the world that his father disappeared to and what's going on with this family. And we gave them this magic shop that kind of has fallen on hard times. And then, you know, we created this conflict with Kingston and his mom, where his mom doesn't want him to have anything to do with magic because of what happened to his dad. But she's got to come back and kind of save the family magic shop in Echo City. And that's kind of where we jump into the story in our novel, is that his dad has disappeared 4 years before the novel starts, and his mom moved them away from, you know, everything that was going on after that happened. But now they're moving back to Echo City, and they're going to kind of take over the shop with his uncles, and he meets up with his cousin Veronica and his friend Tutal, and, you know, and then he finds this Magician's Lost and Found at the Mercury Theater, which is just dilapidated now and fallen into disrepair. That's kind of the genesis of everything.
Well, how did you two meet and begin collaborating?
So Craig and I met at the University of Georgia in the Grady journalism program. I was making my own little shows and film festivals, and Craig had his television show. And one day I remember, like, I always knew of Craig, but we never really hung out at that time during school until one project we had to collaborate. And it was a little video project, and And then let's just say I had a high opinion of, or a tough opinion on who was going to be, had enough skills to kind of do really good stuff. And Craig really just blew me away with like some of the editing and stuff he did on a project I shared with him. And we just became fast friends after that. And then we went on to make stuff after college and then together, and then made our way out to Los Angeles together, or separate times, but very close to the same time.
And are you both working in the film industry as well as writing this novel?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a production company that we've owned for the last 12, 13 years now called Sunny Boy Entertainment. So within like 4 or 5 years of moving to LA, we started just working for ourselves. We started as editors, and I was writing some at the time for Disney, and we had kind of built up enough cachet with people that they were willing to give us work. And that was the beginning. And I think the intention there, as it is now, is like that we could get enough work that we could just always be spending time together to be creating and making whatever we want. And, you know, we've built that out into a company now, and a lot of the people that work with us are our good friends. And we do a lot of studio projects. Mostly our bread and butter is we do behind the scenes on films. So we go to sets and shoot behind the scenes and that kind of thing. But we've also made all kinds of stuff, from concert visuals to virtual reality. And then Harold and I, along the way, have also been writing, and we kind of got in writing on some children families programming, like Arnold Stein's Haunting Hour and Christopher Pike's Spooksville, and sold some shows ourselves. So we've been kind of doing all that, and that's been our source of revenue and our lifestyle for over a decade now.
And so what are some of the projects that you're doing in terms of screenwriting, in addition to this novel that you just wrote or co-wrote?
Yeah. So, we did an adaptation of a graphic novel called Earthly that we were hired to do by producer Alan Rich. We're currently developing an animated series called Hourglass Moonland, which is based on a virtual reality short that we created in-house at Sunny Boy called Yeti and Spaghetti that went to a bunch of film festivals. And that's being developed with Robert Kirkman, who created Walking Dead, his company. He has his company and an animation company up in Vancouver. And we've been developing that for a few years now. We're just always doing all kinds of stuff. So
sure. Well, how did you create the pen name Rucker Moses? Is there significance to that name?
Well, I mean, we've always kind of gone under another moniker together, which was Sunny Boy Entertainment. So, I mean, so we would often call ourselves Sunny Boy jointly. So it was always a way for us to kind of like keep our personal egos in check and say, hey, we're working as Sunny Boy. So it was a great way to kind of like collaborate under one name and just really always write what's best for the character or the story or whatever project we're working on, is to focus on that, not so much as like, hey, I want this, or hey, I want that. But then Rucker Moses was another way for us to do that for the novel writing. And so Rucker is the last name of a major character in the film, in the book, named Black Herman, but his real Black Herman is Benjamin Rucker's stage name. He's one of the greatest, he claimed to be one of the greatest Black magicians. He was famous in New York and I forgot what time period, but
it was around the Harlem Renaissance.
We found out about this gentleman and did not know anything about a whole group of practicing Black magicians at that time. And we were able to fictionalize kind of his himself and put him in this book as like a sage kind of type of character mysterious, but still kind of a sage character. And so that's where the Rucker comes from. And Craig, you want to talk about the Moses part?
Yeah, then, you know, Moses, we've already been working on book two that's going to be releasing in October. But as you get into the book and you start to explore the lore of where Kingston's father, Preston, disappeared to, we kind of created this mythology that ties back to ancient Egypt. And, you know, it's really fascinating. Egypt is fascinating because in Egypt, magic was a religion. The magician was not treated the way that we treat magicians. We don't, when you thought of a magician, you didn't think of it as somebody who showed up at your kid's birthday party. These were regarded as, you know, people that were operating at a high frequency, like shamanesque. And Moses, you know, was a practicing magician. And it's talked about a little bit in the Bible. And then there's a lot of interesting literature that kind of expands on Moses's story, talks a lot about, you know, who he was. It's what he was practicing at the time. So we figured that was kind of a good combination to bookend the journey of research that we did between Black Herman and Moses himself.
That's great.
And we thought it sounded cool.
Yeah.
So what does the collaboration process look like for you two as you were working on the novel? Were you in the same room, or were you working on a shared document? How did that work?
Well, you know, we started this whole process originally writing this as we had sold it as a pilot script early on to one of the studios. It never got past the pilot phase. They never did shoot it, but that was the beginning of the writing process for this. And there was a producer, Jane Starks, who we were working on another show for writing. And she, you know, Jane's wonderful and a good friend of ours now. And she had seen the material. We showed her some of the stuff that we were working on, and she really responded to Kingston. And she said, if you guys can put the time in and put a book proposal together, I can, you know, take you to all the publishers in New York. So that was probably a 2-year process that we collaborated on a really extensive book proposal that we had to lay out the world. We had to lay out the plot for the first two books. We had to write a good number of chapters for the first book. And, you know, that collaboration process was like any other one, where we're just constantly going back and forth, sharing documents and, you know, splitting, you know, like divide and conquer. I'll jump in on the pages. Harold would jump in on the pitch deck. And then we sold that to Stacey Barney at Penguin Random House, who's our editor now. And, you know, it came with, they wanted to hook us up with Theo, who was an established author who had written some books for Stacey and had worked with her in the past. And is also a resident of Brooklyn and was, you know, runs an MFA writing program in Brooklyn at St. Francis.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
And so that became kind of the trio. And, you know, Theo's become one of our great friends as well. And, you know, the process of the three of us writing is a lot of talking and conversation and kind of going back and forth about what we want to do. with the book. And, you know, one thing that Theo did in the very beginning was when we had submitted the chapters to Stacy and she wanted to bring Theo in, he changed everything to first person. We had originally written in third person. So he went inside Peek's head and kind of took everything that we had written, all the plots stayed the same, but we were now inside of Kingston's head witnessing it. So that was a big transformation that happened along the way. And since then, you know, typically when we would get into the writing, we would break it up. We would have, here's the chapters we're going to do. We would typically stay ahead of Theo so that he's catching up to us. And then as he kind of caught up to us, he would clean up and make sure that the voice stays consistent across the whole book. And that's, you know, that's how the process worked on the first one. And, you know, there was still a lot of finding and eventually you get it to a really good groove. And we've already finished the second book now. We did kind of the same process when we were writing that one last year, because it's 2021.
Yeah. What was really interesting before is we spent so much time on the phone. And we did not use tools that came about, I guess, or the advent. I mean, they already existed, but due to the COVID pandemic, we ended up started now using Zoom and other kind of like Slack and other things to kind of like do group and Google Docs and stuff like that to kind of share documents. Whereas before it was a lot more tedious, but it was just like, it took something like the pandemic in a weird way to kind of like help us streamline that even more so.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So what writing or creative advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories, novels, or scripts?
Write what you enjoy. I would say really, you know, actually Theo really talks about it, that, you know, don't be ashamed of the things that you enjoy. You know, like Craig and I are very much into things like science fiction. There was times where we wrote other things that were a little heavier, but ultimately I just wanted to write stuff that I was going to have a good time writing and exploring. And so that was like the first thing I recommend to people.
Yeah. And, I mean, my recommendation, I think in this process, I have become process oriented. but I find that the practice of writing, just like anything else, if you're learning to play an instrument, if you're, whatever, getting in shape, trying to, you know, do meditation, it's all about the practice. It's all about having the habit of doing it consistently. And I don't think there's any great secret with writing. I think it's just about sitting down and spending the time to just do these small chunks of writing that eventually accumulate into something greater, and to not look at it at such a bird's eye view that it's daunting, the concept of having to write a whole novel, but to just go in and try to spend every day doing a little piece of it. And it starts to become more natural. You start to be able to get into it quicker. And you just start to channel the work, through yourself in a way that can only be done if you're doing it consistently. So that'd be my advice.
Gotcha. And I got one more thing is that to think about tempo. For me, it's super important to think about the tempo of when things kind of hit, when you're going to drop a twist. You know, I personally like to always think about, wow, this either dragging on, how do I kind of speed this part up, and really think about how the reader is also going to kind of respond. That's after.
Yeah, we definitely need
after you've gotten through the process a little bit though.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So what fiction or nonfiction books have you two read recently that you enjoyed?
Oh, man. Currently, I really like this City of Ghosts, which is by V.E. Schwab. I've really gotten into her writing in general. And that's a trilogy that I think is, I think the third book just came out. So I've really enjoyed that a lot. It's funny, I just finished Dune because I started reading that book because I wanted to make sure I read it. And I think I've started that book and not finished it many times in the past before. But I actually got through it and I did the audiobook, which is fantastic. And man, that just took me back to a place, you know, just a book that's so comprehensive, so deep, and just so creative. It's incredible, that book.
I agree with that.
I don't know. Those are two books on, you know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's so expansive and just, there's just so much interesting, conceptual things in there that he does. It's wild. So I get like, yeah, those two books recently, that's what I've been reading.
Yeah, I read pretty hardcore science fiction. I've been reading some Alistair Reynolds, like House of Suns. And then also it was Armada by Ernest Cline. And and Leckie from Ancillary Mercy.
Yeah.
So I read some heavy science fiction stuff.
That sounds great. Well, where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your debut novel?
Ruckermoses.com. So Ruckermoses.com. And then on Instagram, we are Rucker.Moses. Rucker.Moses. There's a lot of stuff on there. We've been making some videos. Like we did a video about Black Hermit, just giving people more information that we shot, edited, and there's a trailer for Kingston up there. And you can find everything at one of those two places.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Harold Hayes Jr. and Craig S. Phillips, the co-creators behind a new novel, Kingston and the Magicians Lost and Found. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Harold and Craig, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Now, stay tuned for a brief excerpt from the audiobook of Kingston and the Magicians Lost and Found by Rucker Moses and Theo Ganji, read by Sullivan Jones. Available from PRH Audio, wherever audiobooks are sold.
My father was famous. He was the greatest magician in Echo City. And he made himself disappear. Disappear, like here one second, gone the next. Not disappear like he went out for milk and eggs and never came back, like the bullies at school used to say. He wasn't abducted by aliens or kidnapped by the mob. He doesn't have another family and he isn't dead. He's alive. I know he is. No one else thinks so, but I know. Ma says not to sit around waiting for him, that I'll just be disappointed. She's afraid I'll be like him, that I'll get lost in magic and she'll lose me like she lost him. I promise her I won't get lost. Sometimes she believes me. Sometimes I mean it. It's been 4 years, 6 months, and 7 days since he's been gone. I was 8 years old then. That's also 4 years and 5 months since we left Brooklyn. And today, we're moving back to Pop's old home in Echo City, Brooklyn. Ma says the James family brownstone, aka 52 Rick Street, will go back to the bank if we don't. She taught me a nasty-sounding word, foreclosure. It's like closed, but times four, and with an er at the end, in case you didn't know that the word meant business. Ma says it means banks take your house when you run out of money. So now she wants to open up a cafe, which is her lifelong dream. But she's still nervous about moving. She doesn't say so. Only I can tell by how she's driving, inching along the hot summer streets and peeking at signs like a cat, sighing in every red light, squinting out the window at the street corners and row houses. She keeps tapping angry fingers at Google Maps on her phone screen. She thinks she knows Brooklyn, but it's been a while. I don't understand, she says frustrated. This thing has us jumping all over the streets. Ma pulls the car over and flicks on the hazard lights of our rental SUV. She takes the phone off the dash mount, fingernails clicking on the screen as she stares with photon beam focus. Mom believes in the power of apps and phone maps to get us places. The one thing she isn't doing is looking out the windows. But that's okay. I'm looking out for the both of us. How did our blue dot just land us in the middle of the Brooklyn Navy Yard? She says. Does it look like we're in the middle of the Navy Yard? Oh, wait now. Now we're in the East River? We are literally in a body of water? I'm waiting for the car horns to start blaring at us, like they usually do when we stop and check directions, but there's no one around at all. It's like we found this one abandoned block in Brooklyn. I see a stop sign. I see a word scribbled underneath. Magic. It makes me smile. Brooklyn and magic have always gone together for me. When we lived here with Dad, our lives were full of magic. Tricks, shows, and convos about the all-time great magicians filled our home back then. Before Dad disappeared and we left Brooklyn, and magic along with it. And Ma got so sick and tired of magic, she didn't even want to hear about it anymore. Then I realized the word magic is under the stop sign for a reason. It's a message. Stop. Magic. Well, would you look at that? Says Mom. Yeah, I know. Stop magic sounds like good advice to you, right? Mom looks at me like she has no idea what I'm talking about. No, well, sure, I guess, but King, look. Before she can point her finger, I see it. Looming right there above us like an elephant on the sidewalk. The Mercury Theater. We're quiet for a moment. I'm not sure how Mom will react. I don't even know how I'm reacting, honestly. Most times, when you visit a place you haven't seen in years, it seems small, not the Mercury. And for sure, I've grown a ton since I was here. But somehow the old theater is as huge as it ever was. It's like the dinosaur of buildings, bigger than everything around it, and from another time. Mom takes a deep breath, and I hear her tremble on the exhale. My heartbeat is jacked up quick, like I just hit the fast-forward button a couple times. I remember how sad she was, back when Pop never came home that first night, when she filled out the missing person report, how we held each other and cried. I wonder if she's going to hit the gas and drive off, like she did the day we left Echo City, like when she stashed all the pictures of Pop's and his magic shows in a box down in the basement. I wonder if she's going to make a comment that cuts about magic and fools and leaving things in the past. But she doesn't do any of that. She opens her door and just stands there in the heat, taking it in.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.